Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
We're marking the first 100 days of President Donald Trump's second term in office.
This is the best, they say, 100-day start of any president in history, and everyone is saying it. We've just gotten started. You haven't even seen anything yet. It's all just kicking in.
And today we're looking at how Chicago and Illinois have fared in these 100 days. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We're looking at how the Trump administration has left a mark on our area so far, from a crackdown on migrants in places like Chicago.
It will direct the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, to provide a list of sanctuary cities back to the administration. We will review those. If those sanctuary cities are breaking federal law, well, then the Office of Management and Budget is going to look at their federal spending.
To the money he vows to block.
Cities are being threatened by the federal government to withdraw resources that ultimately will hurt our cities. That's the type of administration that we're dealing with.
To the way his tariff policies have impacted Illinoisans.
There is a tremendous degree of uncertainty out there right now.
I could end up having to borrow $1.2 million more just to finish this building if these tariffs hold.
Unfortunately, the price has got to go up.
It's fair to say the Trump administration has its share of enemies among top Democrats in Illinois.
It's time to fight everywhere and all at once.
For more on what these first 100 days have meant for our city and state, we turn to Chicago Sun-Times reporters Tina Svondelis and Mitchell Armentrout. I asked them, in one word, how would they describe these first 100 days for Illinois? Here's Mitch.
I'm going to go with head spinning, which is a compound adjective, but, you know, it's just been, you know, one news cycle after another. You know, at least for reporters on the political side, you know,
yeah,
it seems like every day a new decision from Washington that has really profound impacts locally. And, you know, it's really just kept government leaders on their toes. It's really just taken it day by day. It's been a real adventure.
That's how it feels around here on Reset, too. What comes to mind for you, Tina?
I'm going to go with retribution, but I also think demolition is a good one word to describe it.
Demolition, that's a strong word.
So much. Getting rid of federal employees, climate change, the immigration raids, the law firms targeting different law firms, targeting universities. There was a list. There's a list of retribution that we all talked about during the campaign, and it exists, and it's happening right now.
President Trump and his administration, yeah, you said it there. They've ruffled the feathers of Illinois' Democrats as well. But Governor Pritzker this week ruffled a few feathers himself. This is when he called for mass protests of this government's policies.
These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box.
Now, how did that go over with the Trump administration and with other Republicans?
A lot of folks in the Trump administration sort of branding that as a call to arms by Governor Pritzker. They say he's inciting violence. And the governor is sort of rebutted by saying, you know, these encouraging people to exercise their First Amendment rights to speak out against what's going on. You know, I think this is also another example of Governor Pritzker sort of positioning himself as like a big time attack dog for the Democratic Party on the national stage, as Tina has written about extensively. You know, he's certainly eyeing a presidential bid in a few years. So this is sort of another way for him to kind of, you know, sort of make a name for himself.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say he's been doing this for like 7 years and people are just starting to wake up. I mean, we heard his speech in January about comparing this to Nazi Germany, So I do think he's getting more attention in the national media.
Yeah.
And so they're seeing it with kind of fresh eyes that we've been seeing this for many, many years. And I do not think he was inciting violence. I do think he wants Democrats to be fighting every day. And he does want to be this kind of leader of the revolution, the leader of the people speaking out against the Trump
fighting
administration.
Fighting with policy, not sending people out there with fists.
Right.
Right.
We asked him about this the day that it happened. Stephen Miller is the one on C-SPAN who said that it's inciting violence. And he said, absolutely not. I just want people to wake up. I want people to protest and to just be aware of what's going on.
Hmm. Well, you know, part of the reason for that frustration is because Chicago and Illinois have been in Trump's crosshairs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, since day one, before day one even, you could say he's had his eyes set on this city and this state. And we were supposed to be ground zero for the mass deportation extravaganza, if you will. Talk more about the effect of immigrations and customs enforcement here in our area, Tina.
Well, you know, his administration czar, the immigration czar, Tom Homan, did say that we would be ground zero. And we were all on call, all of us, right? The first couple of weeks.
That's right. We were waiting.
And I think according to a recent lawsuit, there were 22 arrests in the Chicago area in those first couple of weeks, which is not a lot, but obviously very impactful, especially since a lot of those arrests, there were no warrants. We're still getting information about some of the people that were taken. So he still did something. It's not as grand of a scale, but it's still, you know, we have a new story today about a UIC student, all of the international students who had their student visas revoked this month.
That's
a whole other storyline. That's 1,500 students in the country. And obviously in Chicago, we have a lot of international students. So we're following all those threads. People, we might not know about some of these people that have been taken because they're not telling us.
Yeah, I just remember the fear surrounding those raids in the first few days. If you remember, everybody was on watch. And then, of course, the immigrant community just literally scared, whether they worked in restaurants or bars, stores, wherever they were, just scared that they were going to be picked up. Talk more about that fear, Mitch, and just like how our local leaders responded to those raids.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask anyone in Pilsen, Little Village, any other of Chicago's Latino neighborhoods. I mean, that sense of fear is still really palpable, I think. And, you know, the reason that official arrest number, I think, is so low is because city aldermen and a lot of elected leaders really there was a huge sort of know your rights campaign to let folks know what they have to do and what they don't have to do when a federal agent shows up at their door.
Right.
And that's really prevented a lot of other folks being taken into custody. But still, I mean, that specter is not going anywhere as long as President Trump is in office for folks in these communities.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're just going to have to see what happens in the next few years.
So much attention on this. Remember Dr. Phil was here?
He sure was.
Anybody remember that?
I do.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember that photo.
Federal funding could be pulled, though, over our sanctuary city status. How are we responding to that, Tina?
We keep on saying we are following state and local laws, and they keep on suing us and hitting us on different things. Governor Pritzker was invited to speak before the House Oversight Committee May 15th. He still says he doesn't know if he's doing that, but they just kind of want to make fun of these sanctuary states and cities on a national platform. Those Kathy Hochul and Tim Walz as well. So we are a focal point. We are part of the retribution. Chicago and Illinois, we're going to keep seeing hits like this.
I want to talk tariffs. The big T word, right? That was a huge deal here on the program. We talked to several entrepreneurs, farmers and such here in Illinois who were worried about how this was going to impact their businesses. Walk us through the industries that are particularly at risk here.
You know, there's not really any industry that won't be touched by these tariffs because we're talking about materials that go into so many other products. But, you know, the most immediate ones, we're talking about the manufacturing industry.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the restaurant industry. We're talking about any number of things. You know, these are, you talk to business leaders and, you know, in some cases, they would like to see small tariffs implemented to sort of knock out, you know, foreign steel and things that are sometimes flooded into the country to, you know, undercut U.S. prices. But they've complained a lot about this idea of using a sledgehammer versus the scalpel with the tariffs. And, you know, these are just kind of across the board price increases that really touch all sectors.
Yeah. And are hitting folks on both sides of each side of the border, you know, whether it's going after Mexico or Canada or China, we're feeling it. The pain points are on both sides.
I'm worried about my coffee.
Yes.
I need my coffee.
It's going up.
I bought a toaster yesterday.
Yes.
Before this happens.
I bought a dress for my daughter recently where, you know, it's first of all, it's taking like 3 weeks to get here where it normally would not take that long. And there was just an extra $20 thrown on there. And I'm like, that seems new.
And wedding dresses, too.
Wedding dresses. Yep. Yes. I know a thing or two about that. that's something I also recently purchased. But I want to go back to our education talks earlier, Tina. You mentioned Northwestern, right? Northwestern's been a big target. Tell us more about how Trump has impacted education in our area.
He has targeted universities that he believes were too soft, or he's claiming that they were anti-Semitic during the Palestinian Israel war protests last year. Mm-hmm. That's a huge focal point of his entire administration. So trying to withhold funds from those universities, there's been plenty of stories about anti-bias training that many people disagree with. If you are pro-Israel, they consider that to be anti-Semitic. That's not what a lot of people on those campuses believe, including a lot of professors and students. Yeah. So it's kind of retraining these universities to do the things that he wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very difficult. And along with that, there's been threats to research cuts, medical research, like scholarly research, financial aid. There was a press conference with Governor Pritzker at UIC this week.
Mm-hmm.
Many people unable to get or financial aid. Student loans will probably not see any sort of student loan help like President Biden did. Mm-hmm. I think
the legal clinic at Northwestern being a target too. Like that was something else. Just really going after free speech at the school. What about student loans? How are we impacted here, Mitch?
You know, it seems like the biggest indication is that, you know, this time a year and a half ago or so, there was a lot of talk about canceling student loans and, you know, relief. That's not going to be coming anytime soon.
I haven't heard anything about that lately.
Administration. Yeah. You know, and we're still kind of waiting to see what the impacts are just through the gutting of the Department of Education, which provides a lot of funding to local school districts, including Chicago Public Schools, relied on more than $1 billion in federal funding. You know, that's not it's not an outstanding size of their budget. That's about 15% or so of the budget this year. But that's funding that's, again, it's just sort of called into question now. Pending federal interventions. We just learned last night that there's going to be an investigation of CPS on the federal side over programs that essentially direct more resources to predominantly black schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the administration argues that that's just a misuse of that essentially a DEI effort, which is things that they're trying to sort of cut across the board. Again, it's just sort of it puts the entire district in sort of a state of uncertainty that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, you said it. Well, we heard Pritzker's harsh words earlier, Tina, but, you know, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson has pushed back. Talk a bit about how he's done so and what Attorney General Kwame Raoul is doing. Because I know he filed several lawsuits over the past 100 days.
I think all three of them see the path to fighting this in terms of legal challenges, and there have been so many that's the way to do this, to get a federal judge to intervene, and they have won on some of these things. So that's if you ask Governor Pritzker, the Attorney General, and the mayor what they can do, they say we have to fight back legally, but they can also use their platform to speak out against it, and all of them have done that. Kwame Raoul has been on TV a lot. Mm-hmm. He's been all of that, like a little bit more than usual. You know, he's raising his platform as well.
Yeah.
So I think that they just see that that's the best thing to do, fight legally, but also be out there talking about this.
They've seen some early wins in some of those lawsuits. I mean, I believe Illinois is now party to like more than a dozen suits against Trump executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it comes to a lot of the mass layoffs of federal workers, those have been kind of put on pause. Again, it's still just sort of this state of kind of a suspended animation where we have to wait to see how that plays out.
Question for the two of you, as close watchers of what's happening at the White House and what's happening here at City Hall and in Springfield, where do you begin with when it comes to your reporting, looking ahead at maybe the next 100 days of Trump? What do you focus on?
Well, we're waiting to see what the state budget's going to be like by the end of this month. So if anything happens to mess that up, I'm looking for that. Any education holes. If the Republicans vote on a spending bill that cuts Medicaid, that's going to be horrible for the state because millions of people will lose coverage. So kind of waiting to see what's happening this month, if it'll affect the state budget.
Follow the money. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. But I mean, I think we're all going to be watching these final weeks of the legislative session just to see other bills that, you know, lawmakers might pass to try and Trump-proof the state. You know, that was kind of the big focus in their session earlier this year. Again, are they going to try to do more to protect abortion rights, do more to protect DEI efforts? You know, I think there's as each day that goes by, I mean, I think there's more of an appetite to try and enshrine some of those protections in state law.
We've been talking about President Donald Trump's impact on the state of Illinois and Chicago over the last 100 days with Chicago Sun-Times reporters Tina Spondelis and Mitchell Armantrout. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. To stay in the mix and never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe to the podcast or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.